All right, some people didn't come back from the 5-minute break yet. That's okay. I'm sure there's something in James that challenges that. But I don't know what it is. Okay, good. So next, we're going to learn about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Real wisdom. Okay? So I'm going to read James 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise in understanding among you? Okay, look around. Look around. Look around. Who among you is wise in understanding? My fellow believers. Because you know that we who... I'm sorry. Let them show it by their good life, and by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Notice, let them show it. Right? That's James. It's so annoying sometimes. Just keep saying, prove it to me. Right? Remember the theme is your life needs to agree with your faith. So let them show it. Okay? By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So the theme of this section is godly versus worldly wisdom. What does worldly wisdom say? It says, got to take care of yourself. Worldly wisdom says, don't let anybody do that to you. Worldly wisdom says, I got to take care of my reputation. I have to look good. I have to impress people. I can't let anybody take advantage of me. This is all worldly wisdom. And again, it seems like he's changing the subject suddenly. What was he just talking about? The tongue. And now he's going to talk about wisdom. But actually, there's a strong connection between wisdom and proper use of the tongue. It takes great wisdom to use the tongue as we should. Those with worldly wisdom use the tongue as a weapon. The theme of this section is, like I said, worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. The connecting theme is this. Our faith should produce in us such godly wisdom, which in turn will produce good deeds, including the work of tongues that are used for the good of God's people. So there's the connection between these things. By the way, in chapter 5, he's going to talk about the wisdom of the world, and there he's talking about outsiders. But in this chapter, he's talking about worldly wisdom in the church. Got it? So these people that are having worldly wisdom right now are in the church. Later on in chapter 5, he's going to talk about people outside of the church. And you can tell by the language here. Okay? So he says, godly wisdom produces humility. Right? Is that what he says here? He says, godly wisdom produces humility. Okay? Now, why does godly wisdom produce humility? Okay, true, but I mean, why, though? I mean, true, but explain it. Why does godly wisdom lead to humility? Yeah. Right. Yeah, you start to get a realistic sense of where you're really at. Good, yeah. Do we have a hand raised back there? Just an adjusting of the hair there? Okay. All right. Why does godly wisdom produce humility? Yeah. Right. Fear. That I think fear is, yeah. Godly wisdom involves fear. And that produces humility, right? Yeah, I mean, if you really understand the truth, the whole truth, like the actual truth about reality, you're going to be humble. You're going to realize that you're not the top dog. You're just not the top dog, okay? And godly wisdom produces humility, but worldly wisdom produces pride. You know what's interesting, though? In Proverbs 11:2, let's read that. This is interesting. Proverbs 11:2. Turn there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Now, in James, it says, wisdom produces humility. All right? And in Proverbs, it says, humility produces wisdom. All right? So which is it? Does humility produce wisdom, or does wisdom produce humility? Now, how does humility produce wisdom? Right. If you think you know everything, guess what happens? You end up knowing nothing. Yeah, the humble person realizes, I need to learn. So it's kind of like a feedback mechanism, a feedback loop. Wisdom causes you to realize that you're not so great as you thought, and God's actually quite a bit better than you, and you're not God, and you know, and you start to realize, man, I have a long way to go. Oh man. Not that you're going to get depressed about that, but you just kind of realistic sense. The other hand, humility produces wisdom. Because prideful people are not wise people. All right? But wise people are not proud people. So which is it? They're both true. So that's kind of cool that the Bible has both of those. All right? The world says you have to create a good impression. The world says looks are important. The world says don't let anybody push you around. The world says you got to take care of yourself first. The world says if I don't protect myself, no one else will. The world says life is a zero-sum game. In other words, if I let them get that, then I won't get it. Zero-sum game. So what's to their advantage is to my disadvantage. You know, the Bible says exactly the opposite of every single one of those things. Just look at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is total, utter nonsense to the world. The Sermon on the Mount is the exact opposite of worldly thinking. But you know what? Right here, he's giving kind of his sort of version of the Sermon on the Mount. Or kind of his version of, you know, in Galatians 5, where he talks about the product of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. This is kind of his version of that, right? So I've got a question. Are you a uniter or are you a divider? In the church. In the church. Are you a uniter or a divider? Would somebody say about you, she always has something good to say about people? Would they say that about you? Would they say, that person really is a uniter? That person really brings people of different opinions together. Now, the false teachers James is rebuking have been creating a following for themselves. They're trying to create division. They're trying to, you know, us versus them. Well, James is saying faith with works. but we believe in grace. You know, that's what they're doing. They're trying to create a division. So, is any of this in your thinking? Now, James 3, 17 through 18, to me, that's his version of the gifts of the Spirit, right? The gifts of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Against such things there is no law. So, these are James's fruit of the Spirit. He says, godly wisdom is pure. That means unmixed motives. Right? He's not talking about pure as in not sinning. That's not the kind of purity he's talking about. When he says godly wisdom is pure, what he means is the motives are pure. You're not in it kind of for God, but also for yourself. Kind of for the church, but you got to, you know, kind of take care of your whole deal there at the same time. Kind of for everybody, but also for your group. You know, we got to take care of the singles. How come there's no money for the singles? Man, what about the campus group? Yeah, how come they're not giving attention to the campus group? These kinds of thoughts. So pure means unmixed motives. Are your motives pure? How would you feel if people knew the thoughts behind what you just said or did? Second is submissive. Now, submissive, the normal meaning of submissive is, you know, willing to obey somebody. But in this case, I don't think that's what he's talking about. In this case, I think submissive means willing to listen to somebody. Willing to listen to other people's ideas. Not being a know-it-all. So submissive generally has a little bit different meaning than the way James is using it. All right, but I believe submissive means willing to be convinced by somebody else. Willing to listen to them and not talk to yourself while they're talking and trying to come up with an argument to prove them wrong while they're talking. While they're talking, you listen. By the way, I'm not very good at that. I'll be honest with you. That's a weakness in myself. Easily persuaded. Not on things that you have spiritual convictions about. That's different. But there's all kinds of things that are a matter of opinion and open to being convinced. I believe this is very similar to being peace-loving. All right? And then impartial. Are you impartial? Are you a person who knows how to step back out of the situation and see it from both sides? At the end of any conversation or argument, you should be able to give a detailed account of their side. But a lot of us aren't very good at that. You should be able to write a treatise explaining what they were trying to say. But a lot of us, we're just not that way. That's what impartial. James is using these words, but I believe he's using them in somewhat non-standard ways in the context. So he says, the kind of wisdom that God wants us to have is pure, unmixed motives, peace-loving. In other words, trying whenever possible to avoid turning the situation into a conflict. That's not always going to happen, but considerate, submissive, and others able to be convinced, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. By the way, sincere in this context means without hypocrisy. Sincere means essentially, in fact, the word sincere and pure is very similar. The meaning is very similar. So sincere in this case means without hypocrisy. Being straight with people. Not playing games. Not creating an impression different from what you really are. Not trying to create a false impression of who you are, but just being up front. Okay? Very practical stuff. James 4. The result of worldly wisdom and the cure for worldly wisdom. Let's anticipate. Let's pretend that we were going to write this session here. So think for a minute. What do you think? Don't raise your hand. This is just for you to think. What would be the result of worldly wisdom? Think about that. and then think, what would be the cure for worldly wisdom? Okay? To some extent, your question was, people were giving you worldly wisdom. That's what they were doing. All right? And so what would be the cure for that? The quotes you were saying sounded like worldly thinking, you know? I did my part. I'm done. You know? That's worldly thinking. Instead, we should say, I'm an unworthy servant, right? That's what we should say. All right. Good. The result of worldly wisdom is fights and quarrels. That's the result of worldly wisdom. So let's read about that. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want.